Welcome into the Coaches Club at MetLife Stadium. Giants postgame live presented by Mercedes-Benz is coming up in just a moment. But first, I'm Madeline Burke, joined by Howard Cross. Howard, Giants fell to the Eagles 34-29 in a very interesting game, but the Giants special teams really struggled today. Missed extra or blocked extra point, blocked field goal, blocked punt. Was that the story of this game?
That's pretty much the story of the game. What happens is that the Eagles have been watching, you know, some tape, and they noticed that there were some gaps in the protection. Once you see that and you exploit it, it works in your favor, and it worked big today. When you block field goals and you block, punts, it makes for, you know, a different score in the game.
Now, the Giants were able to get some points on the board, though. They scored 29 points against the number 3 defense in the NFL. Eli Manning threw for over 400 yards. Sterling Shepard had over 100 yards receiving, including that long touchdown catch. How was this offense able to go up-tempo and kind of keep these Eagles defenders on their toes?
Well, you know, they basically believe that the Eagles believe that they could press the receivers. The inexperienced, you only have two guys out there really that are even drafted. If you can press those guys, you can probably, you know, get to the quarterback quickly. The Giants didn't do that. They just ran slants early, got loose early, and guys had, you know, not just great production, but they were all over the place out there, and they couldn't stay up with them.
Now, you know, a lot of these big touchdown plays, too, we saw that 67-yarder from Shepard, we saw that 57-yarder from Tavares King, that kind of ignites a little bit of momentum. And in an NFC East rivalry game like this against the Eagles, who lead the division, I mean, does that light a fire for a player like him?
It does. It gets them fired up. But, you know, here it is. You're late in the season. This is when you find out, you know, what these guys are really about. You know, everything's kind of gone. They're not playing for the playoffs. They got teams they're playing. They're in their divisions. They have a chance to, like, you know, show whoever's coming in next that they want to be with the team. And that's the biggest thing for them right now, is to show them that, hey, look, we're here. We're fighting every down. We're still trying to make it.
Now, the run game, I think, was something that was a point of focus for this Giants defense to stall and to stop. But, I mean, the Giants defense seemed to struggle a little bit today. Did you see that?
No, I thought they did pretty good. I think they had a couple plays where they made mistakes. I saw the big touchdown where, like, nobody was covering him. Eli Apple was supposed to cover the guy into the wheel route to the outside. He didn't. He kind of stayed inside on the slant. That was a mistake. Hadn't been in the game for a little bit. He's been out for the last few weeks. So if you correct that mistake, that's probably a field goal. Munson didn't get outside. Goodson didn't hurt his ankle. Munson's now inside. He's got to be able to get outside to make a play on the running back. If he gets there, again, stops him for a field goal. Changes the game. That's 7 points different right there.
All right, we'll keep it right here. We've got more reaction and analysis as Giants postgame live presented by Mercedes-Benz starts right now.
We welcome you to another edition of Giants Post Game Live, presented by Mercedes-Benz, the official luxury automobile of the New York Giants. What a thrilling game here at MetLife Stadium as the Giants gave the Eagles all they can handle, but Philadelphia gets their 12th win of the season. They hold off the Giants 34-29. So with the victory today, the Philadelphia Eagles have now clinched a bye in the first round of the playoffs. Lots to digest in this game that went back and forth. Eagles fans well represented in the building throughout the course of the day, but the Giants gave them all they can handle. And let's talk about this latest Giants loss, but it came in a lot different manner than we've seen. I've got Super Bowl champions all over the table, something those Eagles fans don't know anything about. Sean O'Hara has got one, two-time Super Bowl champion David Deal, and Amani Toomer's got one as well.
And, yeah, second-place ring, too.
What, yeah, well, yeah, NFC Championship game. But Eagles fans have those.
We've been showing them the hardware while we were waiting for you.
So let's talk about this game. I mean, great game plan by Mike Sullivan. Excellent game plan by the defensive staff and Steve Spagnuolo. But critical errors in this football game. You get a blocked extra point. You get a blocked field goal and a blocked punt that gives Philadelphia the ball at the 18-yard line, made you pay. You can't make those mistakes against a team like this.
Coming into the game, Bob, the question was going to be, can the Giants' offense keep up with the Eagles' offense? And they certainly did that. The special teams let them down. But you brought up the point about Mike Sullivan, so I'll start there. Offensively, to come in against this Eagles defense, They'd only given up 14 points in the first half. They had never given up more than 14 points in the first half. The Giants come out, and on the opening possession, I thought that, to me, that was the statement. To march down and score a touchdown, that's the first time that the Giants have done that all year long. They marched right down the field. Eli made a couple of huge throws. I thought that really kind of set the tempo. I thought it gave the defense a lot of confidence, and I thought that they both played really well. It's a shame that the special teams didn't show up.
David, they did a decent job protecting Eli. I mean, he took some shots. They got some sacks. But for the most part, a well-crafted game plan and a good job done by a patchwork offensive line to at least give Manning a chance to make some plays.
No question. And you look at the way that they were able to run the ball, stay balanced offensively. But when it comes down to it, when you look at the team and the offense, they were 10 of 18 on third down. But there were some very crucial drops in this football game. Eli wishes that he has two throws back that were overthrown. That could have been huge plays for them offensively. But you have to give them a lot of credit for the way that they fought, settled in, and they didn't give up as many sacks and big hits as we thought that they would based upon having the balance offensively and being able to control the football. When you look at it, 30 minutes time of possession at 29, that's exactly where they needed to be in this football game. But once again, when you come to special teams, it's hard to overcome those three blocks.
Yeah, and Toombs, I mean, at the end of the game, they didn't even have Tavares King. I mean, just think about what I'm saying is that coming into the season, who would have ever thought that they were going to miss Tavares King, but they needed him as a third option down the stretch because, you know, Khalif Raymond's not a factor in the offense. But guys stepped up and made plays. Yards after the catch helped a lot today.
Yeah, especially Shepard had a great game today, especially in that third down and two where he went 60 yards. That was one of those situations where Mike Sullivan called the perfect play at the perfect time. It's like when you're playing Madden and you hit the perfect play and your guy all of a sudden makes a whole bunch of people miss. That's exactly what happened. They know the tendencies of the Philadelphia Eagles is to play that man coverage in those short, third and short situations. They ran a pick route, and Shepard got the ball and made a terrific play. And King also had a great block on that play to spring him and then escort him into the end zone.
Yeah, and another guy who had a great block on that play and also had a great block on the King touchdown pass on the blitz was Wayne Gallman, who was a big factor in this football game, both running and receiving and obviously blocking. And a short time ago, he had a chance to speak with Paul Dottino.
Wayne, can you take me through that last drive? It looked as though Eli was going to pull out one of his miracle finishes, and then it didn't quite happen for you.
Yeah, and, you know, just watching from the sideline, really was, you know, pushing the guys, do whatever they can so we could get that touchdown. You know, we had this win secure, but, you know, just adversity, man. We keep going through it.
This is the second week in a row you've been a bigger part of the offense. How much more comfortable are you feeling?
Man, I'm fine. You know, I'm doing whatever I can to help this offense. And, you know, whenever I get my opportunity, I'm going to maximize it.
People have talked about Steve Spagnuolo as the interim head coach. He was a defensive coach. But you guys all around, up and down the 53, seem to want to play for him.
Yeah. And, you
know. Why?
Why? I mean, we're going to play hard regardless of who our coach is. You know, Spags, you know, just from getting to really know him this past 2 weeks, man, he's a really good guy. I like him as a coach. And, you know. I know it'll be good going forward.
And then final question, the up-tempo offense really seemed to help you guys out in this game.
Yeah, it's all about tempo, man. You know, we do what we do.
Wayne Gallman, thanks for your time.
Thanks, man.
Yeah, Wayne Gallman gave the Giants a bit of a spark in this football game. And, you know, one of the other things that, look, Philadelphia has a really good offensive line. Each and every week you break it down.
Yeah.
Giants just can't get pressure on third down when they need to. And that's been a telling story all season. Foles was able to remain comfortable in this game. And probably at the end of the day, the hits on Manning as opposed to the lack of hits on Foles were a big factor.
Yeah, Foles, I mean, look, he's a big target. And they knew he was going to hang in the pocket. But you mentioned the lack of pressure with the front four. JPP going up against Lane Johnson, arguably one of the best right tackles, was pretty much a non-factor. OV had one big hit. But when you're going to risk that, which Spags has been known, hey, on third down, he's going to dial it up. That's when some of the big plays happen. And we saw it. Later on in the game there, the big pressure ended up with a big play to Zach Ertz. And I think, what, two tight ends touchdowns again today, so that's 13 on the season. That continues to really be the Achilles heel.
And when you have lack of production in the pass rush, that's where you put your linebackers and your safeties on an island, and they were able to expose it. Once Landon Collins came out of the lineup, they went right after the tight ends, whether it was Zach Ertz or Trey Burton. Like you said, the two touchdowns. And when you don't get that rush and you have that extra time, That's what allows Nick Foles to spend that extra time going through progressions, going through his reads, and you saw him in the second half because of that really ease in when he hasn't played a lot of football this season.
Toombs, I want to get your take. Obviously, the Giants wanted a flag on the last play in the back of the end zone to Evan Engram, and it looked like Corey Graham had his right arm locked. Is that a ball that, in your opinion, if Eli brings it down a little bit, maybe you could draw the flag, but because it was high, the officials just chose to not throw it?
No, I think that if you're looking for a penalty to bail you out in the last play of the game, it's a toss-up if they're going to do it or not. You always got to make sure. I always thought that if I was being held, that I was letting the defender hold me. So I never would even consider the fact that he held me, and I would he could have played it up a little bit more maybe, but other than that, I mean, that's kind of what happens in the end of the game. I mean, just like in basketball, last minute of the game, they tend not to give you bailout calls, and they weren't going to bail out Evan Engram today.
Yeah, and I think it's a learning thing for him as a rookie on how to deal with that, to either do a better job of drawing the penalty or fighting through that hold to go get that football.
It almost looked like he initiated the contact with his right hand. So when you do that, you kind of open yourself up to that. You know, I mean, if you're going to do the push-up, I've heard coaches talk all the time, if you're going to put anything out, use the elbow, not the hand, because now they can't grab it. So
You're right. You don't want to put that arm across the chest. You want to elbow.
You get the arm bar just like you got.
And you, if you want to push, you always I always push with my elbows because you can make it one motion with the elbows up to the ball, and then you can't see the push.
Right. Interesting.
Athletic movement.
How much fun are these guys having right
now?
Hey, let's talk a little bit about some of the Giants' defense and things that did not go right. Andrew Adams on the field after the game with Paul Dottino.
Andrew, on the short end of the stick again tonight, but obviously this team is fighting tooth and nail for Coach Spagnuolo and for your teammates. You have to be proud about that.
Yeah, definitely. You know, this team has a lot of heart. You know, Coach Spags, you know, was saying before the game and at halftime, it's about the will of the man. It's not how many men you have. It's about the will of the man inside. And you can see, and everybody can see, that this team has a lot of will.
How difficult was it when they were able to get the short field a couple of times there as they were trying to mount their comeback? It really seemed to help them out.
Yeah, you know, it was rough, but, you know, as a defense, you know, we thrive on being on the field, so we got to find a way to hold them to three in those situations.
All right, how different was it to face Foles as opposed to Wentz? We talked about the lack of mobility, but Foles was still able to make some big plays.
Yeah, definitely. You know, Wentz brings a mobile aspect to the game, but, you know, Foles a veteran quarterback season. He knows what he's doing. He makes all his reads. So, you know, he's just as good as Wentz.
And then finally, Landon Collins badly sprained ankle all week. Didn't look like he was going to play. And then he gutted it out and actually started this game before coming out.
Right.
What does that say about one of your leaders?
You know, he's very tough, very tough. You know, I'm proud of him for doing that. But, you know, next man up.
Thanks very much, Andrew.
Thank you.
Andrew Adams after the game talking a little bit about the Giants and what went wrong here for Big Blue as Philadelphia holds off the Giants late. Eagles get their 12th win of the season. They have clinched a bye in the first round of the postseason as they defeat the Giants 34-29. Guests of Giants postgame live have a chance to win an opportunity. Fans, you have a chance to win an opportunity with an LG Gram 14-inch full HD touchscreen notebook computer with Intel 5 inside at Adorama.com/Giants. Adorama, the official electronics retailer of the New York Giants. We'll hear from head coach Steve Spagnuolo when we return to Giants postgame live here on the MSG Networks. Welcome back to Giants postgame live here on the MSG Networks, presented by Mercedes-Benz. The brave Giants fans here at MetLife Stadium. Spirited game. The Philadelphia Eagles knock off the Giants 34-29 as the Giants have an opportunity fourth and goal at the 11-yard line, and Eli Manning's pass for Evan Engram in the back of the end zone goes incomplete. Just a moment ago, Giants interim head coach Steve Spagnuolo addressed the media.
First, I'm going to compliment Doug and his football team, the Eagles, for the win. You know, they got it done in the end. I wish him a lot of luck going forward. He's a good man. I don't think this – I told the team that I didn't think this was the time to dissect everything right now. We'll get together as a group, talk about everything we need to talk about tomorrow, and then they'll have Tuesday off. You know, without getting my eyes on the film or – I didn't look at stats or anything. I did think the offense came out and did a nice job. Eli managing everything. That drive at the end was special. We all were hoping for a memorable score and a memorable game. And, you know, a lot of what could have been, but a 2-11 team beating 11-2 on the last play would have been special. It didn't happen. You know, obviously some of the things I know I'm going to get asked about, you know, talk about right now, the special teams protection obviously got us in trouble. Defensive tackling is not good enough. I can remember one third down in particular that we're off the field that kills you. You guys know that. And can't turn the ball over against a good football team. They have proven that if you don't turn the ball over against them, I'm talking about the Eagles, you got a decent chance of winning. And there's a lot of other things in there. I do believe that the fight in this football team was reflective out on the field. And my comment to them was, if that is the best, team in the NFC, which it might very well be, then we went out there and, you know, exchanged punches with the best, and almost came away with a win, but we didn't. So, having said all that, I'll just open it up.
Based off the eye test, how do you think Eli Apple did in his first game back?
You know, and again, I need to see the film, but. I was asking. I thought he was solid. I don't remember anything that got us in trouble. I do remember this, at least two really good tackles, and he's a really good tackler. Well, Landon went out. He was smart. I have no regrets about having him play. He doesn't either. But you just got to, you know, he tweaked it again, and he just wasn't able to go. I mean, he's going to go if he can go. He's a warrior. Love that man, but he just wasn't able to go to a certain point. Yeah, I'm going back in my mind. I believe it was a man. He got picked, and I think on that one, DRC, he was planning on that guy picking and having the help on the throw that goes, and it didn't happen. We kind of made a little bit of a mistake, but that wasn't the only thing. We'll get that ironed out. Yeah, I'm not making a kid. I'll tell you what I'm doing here. I'm trying to get a football team ready to play a game, and I thought they did that. And when I finished with the team just now, the focus is on Arizona. And that's what we do in this league. By the time we wake up Wednesday morning and go in that building, it's going to be the same as all the other 31 teams. They're going to be doing the same thing. It won't matter whether they won a game on Sunday or lost a game on Sunday. I can't remember exactly where it happened. I know the one field goal, I believe, was on our right side. We got to get it taken care of. I mean, when we see the film, we'll have a better idea whether it was steps or, you know, who didn't punch here or who didn't punch there. But you can't have it. This time of year, we need to have that all firmed up.
They both came from that same side.
Yeah, and I don't know. I don't have the guys in mind. I'll have to look at it.
I mean, how tough is that? It's like a 12-point swing.
I know. Yeah, it hurts. It hurts. Tom does. I mean, I'm not sticking my nose where I'm not an expert at. But we talk about game management, what we would do, what we wouldn't do. Tom and Dwayne know what they're doing, so they'll get it ironed out.
What are your thoughts on the fourth and goal play on the second-to-last drive? And
can
you give an explanation as to why flag wasn't
run? I was not. You're talking about the last play there to win it? I was not given them. I wasn't.
What were your thoughts on it?
I'm going to hold my thoughts. I'd like to see it on tape. How much does it hurt that? Yeah. I mean, any game you lose hurts. I mean, what we're going to go back and end up thinking about and dissecting is we were ahead early in the game, and we let them get back in. And I felt we let them get back in it by mistakes that we made. And to their credit, you know, they kept playing and battled their way back. And then, yeah, the special teams miscues put our backs to the wall. That's tough. It's hard enough that, well, look, at the margin for error is very small for us right now with all the injuries and what we're going through. And to be making it easy on an opponent, man, that hurts. I'm not sure what the difference is other than I know that's him. We know what he's capable of, and that showed today. I tell you what, I would say this, just without watching the film, that was a really good front we just played, that defensive front from Philadelphia. And Yeah, I don't remember. I mean, I'm sure there was a little bit of pressure here and there, but obviously Eli was getting enough time to function effectively as a quarterback to get us that many points. So I'd credit the O-line without seeing it on tape right now.
What did you do different offensively? We obviously had a lot more success offensively.
Say it again, Jordan.
What did you think worked offensively? What did you do different?
Yeah, I don't know whether we did anything different. We talked a lot during the week about the value of a 4-yard run and a 5-yard completion against this team. And the fact that if we could get some of those completions, some of them would turn into yards after catch plays, which it did. I mean, 87 had one that I can think of. TK had one when we ran. They had shown that was an edge we were looking for in playing this football team, so that worked out pretty good. But I don't know that we functioned any differently. Eli still functioned with making some checks. I can remember one specifically. He got us out of a call, put us in a good play. Mike's been doing a really good job with that. And, you know, Mike and Eli have been together for so long that when the game plan is fed and Eli bounces it back and forth, I see Eli coming up later in the evening suggesting plays. I think they're working real well together, and they felt comfortable with the game plan, and for the most part did a good job with it.
So the Giant offense, ranked near the bottom of the NFL, puts up 504 yards, 8 of 16 on third down conversions, but it's not enough. So you start looking at little plays, and obviously a blocked extra point can never happen. A blocked punt sets up a short field. A blocked field goal opportunity at points wasted. And then there's other little things. You know, Darian Thompson was drafted last year in the third round out of Boise State and was ballyhooed by the coaching staff and front office as a playmaker. Now, he missed all of his rookie year, but he misses a huge tackle on third down with 9 minutes to go on Zach Ertz that keeps a drive alive for Philadelphia. And then, you know, with the ball in the air, it seems to be some issues. So there's guys that have to start showing some improvement here down the stretch, because you got to think about the fact that there's a whole new staff coming in next year that are going to take a critical look at these things and are not going to be holding to draft picks and where you were drafted.
Well, I think Spags kind of hit on it. You know, this team was ready. They were prepared. And I think, you know, anytime these defensive guys, they want to bring pressure, but it puts a lot of pressure on those corners and safeties to come up and make open field tackles. That play against Zach Ertz, I think everybody on that defensive side had to know the ball was going to Ertz. He's kind of been their big play guy. But to not be able to come up with that play, it just deflates you. I think this defense, look, they've been battling injuries at linebacker. There's so many different reasons for why they've struggled. But I think interior-wise, at the defensive tackle position, they need more production out of that in the passing game. I think Snacks has been great. I think Jay Bromley did a great job on that 4th-and-1 stop to get penetration. But there really hasn't been a consistent pressure inside in the A and B gas from the defensive tackle position. So that's one area where I think that they could try to improve on in the offseason, as well as sometimes with the scheme.
And that's something that we saw happen in this football game based upon Fletcher Cox, Vinnie Curry, all those guys inside, Timmy Jernigan, being able to create that pressure to get a quarterback and Eli Manning off of the spot. But like you said, with 2 games left, you've only got 2 games left to build your resume to prove that you deserve to be on the Giants or you deserve to be in the NFL. Toom, you were a part of it with me. 03, Jim Fossil gets fired with 4 games left. Tom Coughlin comes in 04. 05, opening day, there were only 15 of us left from that 03 team. So there's going to be change.
Yeah, I want to unpack that last play, that the first down on the last drive to Ertz. Well, what happened is the defense blitzes. What they do is a blitz on third and long, and they expect the offense to have a hot route, and the hot route went to Ertz. But the crux of it is they force you to go short and make a tackle to get the defense off the field. And if everything went right, the play went right, what they're trying to do to the offense everything went perfectly, but you miss the tackle and all goes for naught, and they lose the lead going down the stretch. And those are the types of plays. And Thompson, you know, he missed all his rookie years, his first year having an opportunity to play, but you know, when you look at that film, they're not going to see how many years you play. They're going to see somebody who was, when asked to make a play to get the defense off of the field, absolutely whiffed. I don't care how long he's been on the field. If you whiff, you whiff. And that basically cost them the game, in my opinion, this game.
Not to pile on the defense either, but when Eli threw the interception, the defense comes back out there. You're saying, hey, look, if they hold him to a field goal, that's a win. But they go down and they score a touchdown. That was after the block punt fiasco too, I believe. and it was a busted coverage. It was Eli Apple and the safety not being on the same page. You can't have those kind of things.
On a third down.
On a third down. And you can't be looking at each other like, I thought you had him. No, I thought you had him.
Which way
that
to
can't
go?
Happen.
That's in training camp. Yep. That's a train. Yeah. All right, we got to take a timeout. A lot more to come here on the program. We'll hear from Eli Manning as well. Guests of our post-game show received a guest certificate to Ben & Jack Steakhouse, located on 5th Avenue and 28th Street in Manhattan. From the celebrated porterhouse to the finest seafood, Ben & Jack's will surpass your expectations of what a steakhouse should be. Eagles hold off the Giants, 34-29. We'll hear from Eli next on Giants Postgame Live. The brave and hardy here at Giants Postgame Live on the MSG Networks, presented by Mercedes-Benz. Eli Manning set a new career high today with 252 first-half passing yards, finishes the game with 434, three touchdowns, 57 attempts, 37 completions, but it's all for naught as the Giants lose to the Eagles 34-29. Eli Manning talking to the media in his postgame press conference.
Yeah, you know it's tough. You don't have there's not a whole lot of great fourth and goals from the 10 plays, but try to get him. Had him on a corner route. The guy was playing outside leverage. Just try to back shoulder it and give him a chance. Got in the end zone, and there was some contact being made. I don't know. Tough to know if it's worth the call or not. Try to just put it up high and have a chance to make a play, and obviously we didn't make it. No explanation.
How difficult is that play after
getting pushed back by the... Yeah, I mean, obviously you have more options, from the five. In the five, we, had a different play called, where you get four guys in the end zone, five guys in the end zone with your back, possibly. From the 10, it's just tough to get everybody in the end zone with routes and things going. So, unfortunate. I had the false start. I don't it's a tough situation. I don't blame Bobby. At home, just loud. Center Brett Jones couldn't hear me call the cadence. You don't think that happened at now, but I guess when you only won two games, you got a lot of Eagles fans, and they were loud, and we couldn't hear the cadence. That's why we jumped off sides. Well, it bothers me in the sense where I don't blame our fans. It's, bothers me in the sense that that's the way that this season's turned out, and we didn't do our part. That you're playing late in the year and where it doesn't, you're not playing for a spot in the playoffs, and so bothers me from that sense.
Eli, receiver group has taken a lot of injuries this season. How impressed have you been with the guys like Sterling and Tavares have stood up, especially
games
like today?
I thought the receivers made some outstanding plays today, and Tavares, Roger Lewis, Sterling and Evan have been playing great. So I thought we threw the ball well. Going against a really good defense, great front four, and guys made some plans. We had a good plan. Started off fast, went right down there. Had a couple double moves. The guys, some scramble things. Did pretty good on third down. So and then we had some great run after catch individual efforts. Sterling on the touchdown. TK on the touchdown. So, proud of the ways the guys competed and have hung in there and kept working, and they're making some plays.
All right, so Eli Manning talking about that false start and how it changed the play on fourth and goal from the 5 as opposed to the 11 or fourth and goal from the 6 on what you can run, getting everybody in the end zone, making a play. But, guys, he was, he reiterated the point that this was a home game, and they couldn't hear the cadence. And we all know that Giants fans, as the season fell apart, a lot of them unloaded their tickets at the Dallas game and this game to try to make back some of their money in a disappointing season. But it did have an effect in this game today. You can hear the chance of defense when the Giants were on offense.
Yeah, you could see and you could feel it. I mean, we felt it last week with Dallas. This is kind of what happens when you have an awful season like this. But still, as an offensive lineman, that can't happen. I mean, and we saw it in week 3, right? John Jerry had the delay of game penalty at the end. You can't be the guy. You don't want to be that guy that puts your team in a bad position. I thought other than that, I thought the offensive line, you hit on it before, I thought they played pretty darn well. And in week 3 down in Philly, they did a good job of protecting Eli and not giving up the big sack and the big play. But you know, we didn't run the ball very well today. But I thought pass protection was pretty. You know, I thought it was pretty solid, and I thought they gave Eli a lot of good opportunities to attack downfield.
And you mentioned it earlier. Wayne Gallman did a great job in his blitz pickup today. Obviously, Red Ellison being able to chip and hit at the point of attack to help out with the offensive tackles. But, you know, when you really think about it, and like you said, at this point in the game, when you're going for a two-point conversion, if you can't hear the snap count, how are you going anyways when you have to look at the football for you to get that tee off? I guess they were trying to maybe to get a little bit more space. But when you look at it, and when you're in a game like this and you only have five penalties, those penalties were at crucial times in the football games that cost you a game.
Especially when, you know, just like we said, we know how decimated this team is with injuries. We know how well the Eagles' season has been going so far. And we at the Giants don't have any opportunity. There's no room margin for error. And we had three blocked, a field goal, a punt, and an extra point. And then an interception, and then on the fourth down, we go off sides. I mean, all these things, if you take half of them away, the Giants win this game easy. So it's just a team beating itself, and that's what the Eagles didn't do today, and that's what the Giants did today and continue to do this entire season.
Yeah, and, well, that's why they're 11-2, right? Even when the Giants got a sack and a forced fumble, when Vernon sacked Foles, I mean, the ball bounced right to, Kenyon Barner, and he recovered it and kept the possession alive. Yeah. So that's part of what happens when you have a successful season, and Philadelphia is the best team in the NFC, them and the Minnesota Vikings right now, and they get their 12th win of the season. We're going to take a timeout. When we come back on the program, we'll hear from Giants rookie tight end Evan Engram as we continue with Giants Post Game Live, presented by Mercedes-Benz on the MSG Network. Yeah, the Giants fans outlasted all the Eagles fans. And it was a tough day for the Giants as they lose a heartbreaker, 34-29 to the Philadelphia Eagles here at MetLife Stadium. How about these numbers? Eli Manning in two games against Philadelphia this year, 800 yards passing, 6 touchdowns, no wins to show for it. Twice in the fourth quarter in Philadelphia, gave the team the lead with less than 5 minutes to go. Giants couldn't hold that. They lost on a 61-yarder, and today, just not able to get that last pass in the end zone in the final minutes to get the victory. Evan Engram asserted himself in this football game as he has all rookie season, and he had a chance to speak with Paul DeTino.
Okay, guys. Evan, I guess I have to start with the final play there in the end zone. A lot of contact. I know you and your teammates were hoping to get a call there. How did you see it develop, and why do you think they didn't make the call that you guys were hoping for?
It's tough. It's tough. It was definitely some contact there. Kind of my arm got held a little bit. I got to fight through, make the play, but I think the film shows that maybe there should have been a call, but no excuses. Got to go up and make a play, but it was definitely tough.
You have only been a rookie now, so you haven't been in a lot of these kinds of situations. What is it like on a potential game-winning drive to have Eli Manning in the huddle?
Oh, man, 10 is... 10 rubbed off on us a lot today. He was laser focused, locked in, making big plays, stepping up in the pocket, taking pressure. I mean, it was definitely a great feeling having him in our huddle, especially on that drive. We drove all the way down, just really close, just couldn't finish.
I have to ask you, because we haven't had this particular conversation before, you've now become such a focal point of this offense over the second half of the season. How have you developed, particularly as a wide receiver? Because let's face it, you're playing a lot outside and a lot in the slot, not as much standard tight end.
I've been doing that a lot throughout my whole career, just moving around, kind of being a tweener and doing different things. So, but definitely it's a lot different at this level. The DBs that we face are really good, good with their instincts and good with their footwork and stuff. So it's definitely a lot more I need to work on. But definitely I'm used to being out there and just being versatile and just trying to make plays for the team anywhere I'm placed.
Final question. I know you didn't expect your rookie season to have this kind of one-loss record, but where does your fight come from?
just how I was raised, just how I was raised, my parents, how I was taught to play the game by my parents and my coaches, that no matter what, through adversity in the game or in life, just attack everything. So definitely it's tough season. It's tough to go through these Sundays, but I'm in love with this game. I'm in love with this team. So every day I show up to work and put work in no matter what the circumstance is, so I can come out and compete and make plays for my team on Sundays.
There's nowhere to go but up. Evan Ingram, thanks for your time.
Appreciate it. Thank you.
Okay, guys, back to you.
All right, thanks, Paul. Let's take a look at some of the final numbers. Sterling Shepard twice this year against the Eagles has gone for over 100 yards receiving, 139. He's got touchdowns of 67 and 77 this year. Evan Ingram, 87 more yards. Tavares King made the most of his two opportunities, 2 for 70, including a 57-yard touchdown catch here on Giants Post Game Live. You know, we talked about the Ingram play. There was a play earlier, two plays earlier, second and goal at the 11, where Manning threw a pass in the left corner of the end zone. Imani, I want to get your take on it. And it was nearly intercepted by Darby. In fact, he had a better chance to catch it. But he was thrown to a spot, wasn't he? Mm-hmm. And tell me what Roger Lewis needs to learn from what he did on that play, because, you know, it's almost like he ran himself out of the route, and Manning was it looks like it's a bad throw, but you played with him. You have an idea of what they were really trying to accomplish there.
Yeah, I think it's the fade route, I think, is what you're talking about. Well, I think what you got to do is you try to win over the top and then let him back shoulder you with the ball. But you have to – you can never get back to the fade, but you can get back to the back shoulder. So you try to get up the field, try to, you know, set your shoulder square and leave yourself a little bit of room, and look like he was – felt like he couldn't get over top. He didn't feel like he had the confidence to get over the top on the fade, so he slowed down and tried to anticipate the back shoulder throw, and that's kind of how you that's kind of the opposite way, because you don't sell the go route. If you don't sell the fade, you're not going to allow, it's not going to allow you to have the defender play up on high and have the ball come behind you.
And one of the things that I love about what was talked about this entire week was Giants pride. Obviously, we saw that out of Landon Collins and the way that he came out, the way that he played, even though he was injured. And we just heard it out of a young player in Evan Ingram. I'm in love with this game, and I love this team. That's the passion that you love to see out of a young football player. And you see it in the way that he practices and the way that he's playing on Sundays.
All right, when we come back here on the program, we're going to hear from Sterling Shepard, who went over 100 yards receiving for the second time this year against the Eagles. For the fourth time in his career, he'll sit down and chat with Madeline Burke. You're watching Giants Post Game Live, presented by Mercedes-Benz, the official luxury automobile of the Giants. Don't shake that blanket. Wrap yourself up in it. It's getting chilly here in East Rutherford, New Jersey, as we welcome you back. Yeah, as we welcome you back to Giants Post Game Live here on the MSG Networks. The Eagles beat the Giants 34-29. Wildly entertaining football game. Look at you. We're wheeling and dealing over here. Sterling Shepard goes over 100 yards. It's a big touchdown catch in this ball game, 67 yards. After the game, Madeline Burke visited Shepard at his locker.
Sterling Shepard, tough loss to a division rival, but this Giants offense was able to put up 29 points against the Eagles' number 3 ranked defense in the NFL. What do you take from that?
Just shows you what this offense is capable of. I mean, I feel like we have the weapons to put up points. We just have to keep on going forward.
Personally, you had over 100 yards before halftime, including that 67-yard touchdown. I know Yak has been a point of emphasis for you. What did you see on that touchdown play?
It was just a great block by Wayne. I mean, he kind of made it a two-way street for me. I could have took the inside or the outside, and I picked the right one and tried to get going.
Now, in a game like this, when, you know, Eli Manning throws for over 400 yards, you're having a great time. A lot of offensive things are hitting right now. Is it frustrating to get that close but not quite finish?
Yeah, it's very frustrating. You know, game's not in our hands for that last play, and I kind of let the emotions get to me. But, yeah, I mean, it's really frustrating getting to that point.
But getting this close, too, I mean, there's a lot of positives to take away from it, right?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, like I said, it's showing what this team is capable of and that we can compete with the best. I mean, this is one of the best teams in the NFC East, so if we can put up points like that against them, then why not anybody else?
Thanks so much, Sterling.
All right, thank you.
Take a look at some final numbers. Eli Manning, 434 yards passing, 3 touchdowns. Wayne Gallman had 39 yards rushing, was a factor in the passing game. And Sterling Shepard, 11 for 139. Imani, I'll focus in on you here. Sterling Shepard, second year, no Odell Beckham Jr. Mm-hmm. A lot more on his plate. He's risen to the occasion here. Now, he had a big drop last week, but he's made some big plays for this team this year. 3 100-yard receiving games.
Yeah, he really has. And, I would take my hat off to the way he's playing, just the fact that, the offense is relying on him. Without him, without Evan Ingram, this offense goes nowhere. They have no running game. Everybody knows where the ball's going. And it's kind of getting him good practice for when he eventually becomes the number one receiver, because this is how it is when, if the team goes as you go, and he's coming through really well. And I'm really impressed with how well he's handling himself in this type of role so early in his career.
Yeah, they fed him early, and he got going early, got in a rhythm. The Giant run defense was in a rhythm. We're going to talk about that a little bit as we return to Giants Post Game Live here from MetLife Stadium, presented by Mercedes-Benz. Hey, a little selfie time here on the MSG Networks. If you missed any part of Giants Post Game Live presented by Mercedes-Benz here on the MSG Networks, re-airs tonight at 7:30, midnight, and then if you can't sleep, 3 a.m. Monday, we'll start you off in the morning at 6 a.m., 8:30, noon, and then at 3 p.m., and then it's on Arizona as you get ready for your next game. As we welcome you back to Giants Post Game Live, in the meeting in Week 3, the difference in the ball game was Philadelphia's ability to run the ball behind LeGarrette Blount. And guys, for the most part, the Giants' run defense did pretty good. I mean, Philadelphia wound up getting 100 yards, but they didn't gash him with the run, and they stopped him on a fourth and short. But pretty good stuff, so you should give them some props for that.
Yeah, I think Spags, his mindset is always, look, we've got to stop the run. That gives us a chance on third down, and then we can bring pressure. I thought they did a phenomenal job. Coming into this game, really, to me, the mindset and the game plan had to be, let's stop the run. Let's make Nick Foles beat us. Nick had to play it all year. Let's make him throw the football. He did that, and he did the ball and did that well. But coming into this game, the Eagles led the NFL in runs over 10 yards. They only had two runs over 15 yards the whole game. So they didn't give up the big play in the run game. They held them to 4 yards per carry. I thought that was a huge factor in why they were able to stay in the game.
It most definitely was, and I think that's why in the first half you saw a Philadelphia Eagles offense struggle on third down, because it wasn't a third and four. It was a third and nine, a third and 10, a third and eight. So it really played into the hand of what the Giants defense was trying to do. But like we said, down the stretch, when you take that risk and you blitz, the margin for error is so slim that when you come up and you have to make a play, like we said with Darian Thompson, or we could even go to the special teams when a punter double clutches a football, those are blocks and tackles that must be made in order to beat a good football team.
Now, let me ask you this, too. I mean, how much of it is a function of, look at who is out there. I mean, you've got Daryl Morris, who didn't even go to training camp this year, and you have the other corners that they've brought in. Like on the touchdown pass to Aguilar. I mean, it almost hit the guy in the back of the shoulder. Aguilar jumps over him, yeah. But they can only carry you so far, right? I mean, when you look at the names that are out on the football field on any given play, all of a sudden there's Ray Armstrong out there trying to make a tackle, or all these guys off the street. It's pretty amazing what they actually did today, all things considered.
Absolutely. I mean, I think you look at the offensive game plan, and the up-tempo for the entire game, that was something that was a little wrinkle that helped the offense do better. They did a lot of screen passes. They ran the ball sparingly. They got the ball out of Eli's hands quick. They had him on a couple bootlegs, trying to move the point on which the defensive line can go to. It's just they did a lot of things. They did everything that they needed to do to win. They even outplayed the Eagles for the majority of the game, but the problem was the mistakes killed them.
Yep, certainly did, and that's why the Giants come up short. The final score, 34-29. We're going to take a timeout when we come back. Some final thoughts as we get you set for Christmas and a Christmas Eve game in Arizona. Fans having a little fun beforehand. It's Giants Post Game Live. The Giants are back in action on Christmas Eve as they go to Glendale, Arizona, scene of the Super Bowl 42 championship Giants as they take on the Arizona Cardinals. 4:25 kickoff on Christmas Eve as the Giants play their second to last game. We welcome you back to Giants Post Game Live presented by Mercedes-Benz. So you got two games to go now against teams that are out of it, Arizona and Washington. I think with the way the Giants competed the last 2 weeks, kind of gives you, if you're a fan, and I think all those guys in the locker room hope that maybe they can win the last two games of the year. And I know fans don't want to hear that about draft stuff, but they're not the ones putting their lives on the line playing. It'll be interesting to see how they carry this now going on the road.
I think they've actually got momentum. They didn't win the game today, but it's crazy to me that a few weeks ago we were talking about players quitting and, you know, the effort on the field. This is a totally different team, and it's amazing what the confidence has done now. And to me, it starts with the offense. By going down to score on the first drive of the game, that touchdown gave the defense confidence. This offense looks totally different. We talked last week about Eli getting the ball down the field. It took deep shots. It's not just the dinks and the dunks. We saw rub routes. We saw Sterling Shepard in the backfield. So, to me, it's a totally different offense.
And we have to say a credit to Steve Spagnuolo, changing up the practice schedule, making sure that they got more reps in practice, and talking about Giants pride. You saw that out of this football team. Unfortunately, mistakes on special teams and during this football game showed up when you're playing up against a good team, but they deserve a lot of credit.
I mean, you're absolutely right, Sean. The fact that they have played so well versus a team that's supposed to be the best in the NFC, the Giants, now they know if they can go out there and play mistake-free football, they can beat the best because they outplayed the Philadelphia Eagles today. But because of mistakes, because of blocked field goals and whatnot, they lost. But they were right there at the end. And that should give this team with misfits a whole bunch of confidence going into the next 2 weeks.
you really need a program when you come to a Giants game to know who's actually.
Can I make
on
one
the
recommendation
team?
Yeah. That the Giants stay at the Sheridan Wild Horse Resort?
There you go. Hey, Merry Christmas to all. For Sean, David, Amani, and our entire crew. Thanks for watching Giants Postgame Live here on the MSG Networks.